in that other room in there, there's a few more that showed up. If I go in, and will more show up? But we're glad to see each of you here this morning. This is Reformation Day, and we want to let you know with joy we will be celebrating that. We've also, as you knew from the announcements, had a group that was picketing us for building buildings to get to heaven called Westboro Baptist Church. And it went off without a hitch. We thank the Orlando Police Department, and we also thank the angels that showed up, and they had the big white wings. And so I'm sure if you watch the news, you'll see some of the reports. Did you have some?
No.
I just wanted to let you know there's no harm. Nothing happened. It was something that God, to his glory, we sat in here and worshiped him with great joy and peace and reverence. So we'll hear from our choir a little bit later, too. So at this point, please fill out the cards and stand and greet one another. Please remain standing. We make our beginning this morning in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead of the command of Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together. Almighty and gracious Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us steadfast in your grace and truth. Protect and deliver us in times of temptation. Deliver us against all enemies. And grant to your church your saving peace through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading is from the book of Revelation, chapter 14, verses 6 through 7. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from the book of Romans, chapter 3, verses 19 to 28. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the world, whole world, may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. All the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By the law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. This is the word of the Lord.
Oh,
Gospel for this day is written in the book of St. John, the 8th chapter. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be richly and abundantly poured out upon each of you this day. Our text is taken from Romans chapter 3, verses 19 through 28, the epistle lesson. Reformation Day occurred. This is the 501st Reformation Day, and you may have remembered just a short year ago, we celebrated the 500th anniversary. Reformation, you may recall, was a time when Christianity was reshaped and returned to its roots, now for a bit longer than just a half a century. You may also remember that in 1517, Martin Luther, a Roman Catholic monk, nailed 95 theses, or questions, to the church door at Wittenberg, questioning some of the teachings and practices of doctrines, and appearing to compare them, Luther found that they were at odds with what Holy Scriptures, the Bible, taught. From this discussion ensued an entire movement called the Reformation. The printing of the Bible in German, the common everyday language of the people. From this discussion ensued a movement, a vernacular of a Bible, but led then to also a teaching for the catechism, where the six chief parts of the Bible were outlined so that they could be taught by the moms and dads of the church membership, but by every Christian household, the children could be taught these eternal truths. Luther, a monk, wrestled with these teachings of Scripture and explanations that his church had taught and held and practiced, and the explanations of how we could become right with God, how we could receive forgiveness, and how we could be assured of heaven itself. Those were the ingredients, the roots of the Reformation. Understood by Luther was that in today's text, that the law speaks to those who are under the law. And Luther heard that loud and clear. So St. Paul writes in today's text, so that by every mouth it may be stopped, and the whole world be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified, made right in God's sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. It seemed the more that Luther and other reformers studied and understood what the Bible was teaching according to their church's traditions, they were coming to grips with the fact that they were poor and miserable sinners of the worst sort. Luther used to beat and flail his body, trying to drive the devil and sin from his soul, but it was all to no avail. Although he would confess, he just didn't seem as though he could confess enough and remember all the things where he'd messed up or left undone that he should have done. Luther found himself to be lacking, unclean, a sinner before holy God. He would try to do more and more good works, but he found them also to be unworthy payments for the sins that he had committed. It was while studying in the book of Romans that the light of God's grace came on. This verse, "For in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." This verse and the understanding of what it meant to be made right in the sight of God became a catalyst for certainty for Luther and for all of us. Luther asked, what does it mean to be right and that the righteous shall live by faith? Author J.C. Sproul writes, the thematic verse for the whole exposition of the Gospel of Paul sets forth in the book of Romans. The lights came on for Luther, and he began to understand that what Paul was speaking of here was a righteousness that God was making in his grace available, by which a person could be reconciled to a holy and righteous God. End quote. It's really fascinating when we also add to this availability of God's grace as a gift given to us, that God was making available, is the Latin word coming out of the legal justice system of the Romans. Justificare. A combination actually of two words. Justus, J-U-S-T-U-S in Latin, really means what it sounds like in English. Justice. Or being made right. Or being, or it being right. So that justice is added to care, and care means to be made right or declared right. So justification is really nothing more than justificare, means that this is where God makes us right, even though we are not right. He declares us to be right, made right. My colleague and friend Dan Reichert in the district office, most of us know him. I would often say something that Dan would like to kid me about, and he said, "Callison, you just ain't right." And when we started to look at what he meant, it was usually a joke. Sometimes it wasn't, but we sometimes owned it up to it too. But I do want to say that as we start to look at this, what we see is that God was, in His mercy and grace, making us right, even though we were not right. Does that make sense? To make simple, Jesus made unrighteous people right with God by His grace. Justificare. You're declared to be right, even though you're not right. That our righteousness is a foreign or an alien piece of information that is a declaration of what we are by God's grace, not by who we are. But it is God who gives us this righteousness. Paul writes, "But now the righteousness of God has been manifest, apart from the law, although the law and prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ is for all who believe." Now the church forefathers also saw this justificare. This justification is what happens when God, through the holy sacraments, gives us gifts. Most of us are probably going to come to the communion rail today. We're going to receive some bread and some wine. But as we combine the Word of God with the promises of God, with the bread and the wine over the words of institution, God promises to be here present in, with, and under that bread and wine. He also promises that the resurrected Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, is present with us in this bread, with that wine, as the one who's raised from death to life, the one who paid the price for your sins and for mine. And as a result, we are at this point offered forgiveness of our sins as a gift from God to you. That's why so many of us, as we step forward, we receive this body and blood, this bread, this wine. What we come forth with, many times we're very humbled by what we realize as we've confessed our sins. We realize how serious this is. And as we come before the altar of God, we receive this forgiveness. We're declared right. We're given a gift that was not ours within our own ability to get. But God, because of His great love for us, gives it to us and declares us no longer sinners. But again, He reminds us, or His saints, His sons and His daughters. As you and I start to look at also this imputed righteousness that is declared to be upon us, at the baptism where we brought forth two children last Sunday, I remember one of those little two girls sure didn't want to get baptized. She did not want to do that. But she finally gave in, and we were able to do that, and with joy, both girls were baptized. And we were pleased to do that. And to see that God was giving them that gift. Again, the gift of faith, declaring them to be His children, promising them the blessing of life everlasting, the forgiveness of sins, and sealing them unto salvation through the working and power of the Holy Spirit. Today, as you come to worship and praise your Lord and Savior Jesus, justificare is also at work. You and I come as we confess our sins, that we're poor and miserable sinners. We're assured again and again of the forgiveness of our sins. And as we hear in God's word, in the message, and in the songs that we sing, in the prayers we say, we understand that God is here with us, and that He is uplifting and strengthening us, and is allowing us to hear His words in our ears, that we are His children, and that we are being made right. A people who aren't right, but are people who are made right by what Jesus has done. We understand and we believe that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is ours in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation, it says in today's text, as a payment by His blood to be received by faith. A righteousness that is not ours, but a gift from God. We receive this gift of Christ's righteousness offered to us like a child at Christmas. I am reminded of my young grandson. I remember at his birthday or at Christmas, he always likes to hand out the gifts. He wants to know which one is his because he couldn't at that time yet start to read at one and two. And he, as he was walking, he would pick up the gifts and he'd say, "Is it mine?" "No, no, take that to mommy or take it to daddy or grandma or grandpa." And as a result, he would take it to wherever we directed him. "Is this one mine?" He'd look for the next one. And he wanted to get all the gifts that were intended for him. And then with great joy, we said, "Okay now, Anders, you can open them." And he'd start to rip off the paper. And he'd get the tape on his hands and he couldn't get it off. And so finally we'd help. And so then he'd go through all the bows and he would unwrap that present and with eagerness see what was inside. Because he knew that one was his. We'd told him that that was his gift. That it was intended for him. Given to him because we loved him. Isn't that what God is doing with us? Giving us a gift that is wrapped in His love, put with a nice bow on it. And shouldn't we open it with great eagerness and excitement to see what's inside of it and to claim it with the hand of faith, to grab it and with arms open wide to receive it, but then hold it closely and cherish it because we know it's ours. People who don't deserve this gift get this gift because of faith that is in Jesus Christ. We understand that God was both just in punishing sin and paying for sins in Christ's blood. And at the same time, He is also our justifier, declaring us to be righteous, even holy, because of God's great love for us in Christ through the shedding of Christ's blood. We know, and Luther knew, that by works of the law, no human flesh will be justified. Luther, like Paul, was on a road paved with good works that he found led to nowhere of salvation. The eyes of both men were opened and overjoyed when they came to understand that we are saved by grace through faith, not of our own works. Salvation is a gift of God, and God declares us people as holy people. Though we be unrighteous on our own, we are sinners declared to be saints, sons and daughters of the living God, and to Him be the glory in Jesus' name. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand.
Thank you.
Please join me in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Indeed, we give you thanks that you've refreshed us through the recalling and recollection of the Reformation, the joy of our salvation that comes as an alien gift from us that we can naturally reach out and get. But through the working of your Holy Spirit, we receive by faith in what Christ has accomplished upon the cross and his victory over death and the grave for us. We thank you for declaring us righteous, Lord, a people who are unrighteous, for declaring us saints rather than sinners, sons and daughters rather than condemned. We ask you, O Lord, to bless and to be with us, and to help us to be able to wonderfully share this good news of your love extended not only to us, but to the entire world. We ask your blessing and help us to be instruments in your hand, vessels of your mercy and grace, that we can pour out upon others in whom we come into contact with in our everyday life. And so, Lord, into your hands I place this entire congregation. Give us and make us disposers of this grace. Allow us to pour it out freely in our conversations and to share it widely in thought, word, and deed. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, for those who protested, Trinity Lutheran Church, St. Luke's Cathedral, and First Baptist today, may your grace also be extended to them. Help them to see the love that you have extended to them and to all of humanity through the death of your Son. Allow them to understand that it is by your grace that we are saved. Allow them on this Reformation Day to also be reformed and reached, and to see your grace and your mercy like Paul did on the road to Damascus. Open their eyes as you opened Luther's. Allow them to rejoice and to see that the righteous shall live by faith. Faith not in their words or their actions, but by the action you took to save us. Lord, in your mercy. And Lord, we pray that you will be with our church and with our school as we reach out to this community. We ask this in Jesus' name. We also ask this day that you will be with Dr. Kevin Brockberg as he is installed into his new ministry in the Indiana District, serving as an executive director of school ministries in the Indiana District. Lord, in your mercy, may you be with he and Susan as they embark on this new endeavor. May you allow them to see the fruits of their labors and to rejoice in the things that you are accomplishing. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
And now, O Lord, hear the prayers that have been requested this day.
Heavenly Father, congregation, pray for the following. For Betty. Betty has cancer. We ask that you be with her, guide her, help and protect her, and give her strength to know that you are still in control. We also ask for the blessings of the people that are the Jewish victim and their families. We pray for peace and healing for all those involved in the shooting yesterday. Be with them and guide them and help them. Lord, in your mercy.
Now together we sing that prayer you taught us. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is meet and right.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising you and singing.
Oh,
be seated. Lord, in your mercy, we ask your Spirit to dwell upon our congregation, and that as they hear these words, they would become their words that would sink deep into their hearts, that your grace would be embedded and endued upon them, and that you, O Lord, would be at work to restore unto us the joy of our salvation as you declare us to be righteous in your name. Our Lord, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had broken it, he gave thanks, and he gave it unto his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, given unto death for you." Likewise, in the same manner, he also took the cup, and when he had supped and had given thanks, he gave it unto them, saying, "Take and drink ye all of it, for this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is given and is shed for you for the remission of all your sins. As often as you drink this, do it in remembrance of me." This cup which we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? And this bread which we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? O taste and see that the Lord is good. Come, for all is now ready.
Thank you.
Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, we thank you for your loving kindness, sent your only Son, begotten into the flesh. We thank you that for his sake you have forgiven us all of our sins and given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Ghost, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bring you his peace. We want to welcome each of you this morning and thank you for those of you who have served us so faithfully today. Can we give a nice round of applause for all the musicians and all the music that made this so wonderful? Our bells, our brass, and our vocals. And Tim, God got you through the needle. We're glad you're back from, was it the West Coast, California? Thank you. Thanks for God bringing you back. Also, we want to just say that we had a wonderful celebration for Oktoberfest yesterday or 2 days ago on Friday night. There were so many people here, and I would like to give a special thank you to everybody who came out, but a special thank you to everybody who helped serve. We really had a wonderful team orchestrated by Lynn Hogan for the second year in a row, and Lynn, her husband was manning the beer tent, so I'm not sure if this had anything to do with it, but I was able to get her commit to a third year. So we want to thank her. So if you see her this week or coming days, please let her know. We really appreciate all that she and all of her team did. We also want to get ready because next month, November, the last day of November, I believe it is, that it is down on the 30th, I believe, we are going to actually have the Christmas tree or the holiday tree lighting service at down at Lake Yola. That's going to be filled with a lot of fun. Our junior school, middle school, as well as our grade, the CDC Center, K-8 and the CDC are going to actually be performing as usual. And we're also going to have a lot of booths as we did last year that allow for a lot of extra fun and activity. And all the stuff that we're going to be doing is free to the public. And we just want to say, like God's love and God's grace, we're extending that love to this community. And so we hope you'll come out, celebrate it, support it, be a part of it. And just we should have fun together with our neighbors in this community. 8 and 11 a.m., boy, didn't that choir sound good? And we had extra voices, so thank you for those who joined the choir today and made a joyful noise unto the Lord. And yes, I was invited. That would have been the noise part. We're collecting new stuffed animals, and we want to just thank God for the stuffed animals and the gift cards. And so there's one more week if you'd like to donate or be a part of that. They're for local foster care families. And so next week we'll recognize Orphan Sunday here at Trinity, and we'll actually have a guest being able to be present to welcome us and talk a bit more at our announcement sharing time. There will be a meeting on 11-7 at 6:30 p.m. about providing support to adoptive foster families. Finally, the pumpkin patch is open for pumpkin sales through October 31st. All proceeds benefit Trinity's school ministry, so I'm sure you want to help with that. It's open Mondays through Friday, 12 to 6 p.m., and on weekends, 11 to 7 p.m. It's a great place also to get some cute pictures for your family. I'm sure Rocky would look good with one of those great big old pumpkins under his arm. And so maybe you could help him pick one out, guys. Could we do that? No, I wasn't saying that, Greg. I wasn't saying that. May the Lord bless you this week and as we join in the singing of our final hymn. Go in peace and serve the Lord with joy.
Thanks be to God.